We're going to talk about Hebrews for the next, 13 weeks? That's like 3 months and a week for the next quarter. We're going to talk about Hebrews for the next quarter. It is a book about better things. Now, I don't know if I'm the only person that ever experiences this. You ever have that thing where you read a word a bunch of times or say a word a bunch of times and then it seems fake? Maybe I'm the only one that ever had. Nope, you guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you do. That's going to happen with the word better. As we go through this study, you're going to look at that word and be like, we've said that word too many times. Because that's what Hebrews is about. It is a book about better things. And this is the list of what we're going to go through over the next however many weeks that is. Jesus is better than angels. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than Joshua. The new priesthood is better. We can be better than we were. And then we have a better reward, covenant, sacrifice, life, and a better people of God. That's what the book is about. The betterness of all these things. Now, the word better means a comparison, right? You're comparing one thing to another, and really you're comparing two things to a standard in order to determine which one meets the standard more. And the comparison's going to change throughout the course of the book, what the author is comparing and what he's comparing it to and how we determine that standard. But fundamentally, throughout the book of Hebrews, the author is emphasizing the superiority of how God relates to humanity through Christ. Now, there's a number of ways that God has had relationships with humanity throughout history. He had, of course, that very personal relationship with Adam and Eve, and then they messed that up, and so they got kicked out. And then there was, of course, the relationship that he had in that sort of prehistoric time, ancient history, the relationship that he had with people like Noah, and then, of course, the relationship that he had with the Israelites, beginning with Abraham, and the ways that God has related to people throughout history, all of these different sort of relationships that he's built. The point of Hebrews is God's relationship with humanity through Christ is better than all those things. All the previous ways that God has had a relationship with mankind, Christ is better than all of them. The way that we relate to God, the way that we have a relationship with God through Christ is superior. It is better. So, as we look at better things in Hebrews, lesson one, the first two chapters of the book of Hebrews is Jesus better than angels. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Long ago, many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Now, the author skips the usual greeting. Usually you have something like Paul, an apostle of Christ, to the church at wherever. The author skips that and just launches right into the subject. His first topic, then, is Jesus as a messenger or as a spokesman. God has spoken to us by his Son. Now, he did it a bunch of ways before. Now, he speaks to us by Jesus. 3 and 4. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. That verse has a lot of different translations. You guys, as you're reading in your own Bibles, there might be some different word choices there, because that is a complex idea, right? He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. This is all the Son, right? After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Superior to angels. The word angel here reinforces the point, right? Having become as much superior to messengers as the name, so on and so forth. Because that word angel, right, we know what that means. That means messenger. That's what the word, in the most basic sense, as I've said many times before, not a translation of that Greek word angelos, but a transliteration, taking the English letters that make the same sound. But so he's just talking about messengers, having become as much superior to messengers, because isn't that what he's saying in 1 and 2? That God spoke it many times through all these different ways, but now speaks to us, gives his message to us by his Son. So how do we know what kind of messenger is being compared? Of course, now the writer does get more specifically into who he's comparing, right? Because the word better has to be a comparison. So what's being compared here? 1:14. Are they all, these angels, not ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? the idea of the spirits, right? These are spiritual beings. We're talking about the more specific meaning of that word angel. These beings that God has used throughout history, and you can see it in the Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament, right? You've got different angels appearing to different people to give different messages. You've got the angels that appear to Abraham, and you've got the angels that appear in the New Testament. You've got, of course, Gabriel appears several times, and you've got these different angels. They appear to the shepherds, right? All these different angels that have done all these different Daniel, we looked at it when we studied Daniel, his conversations with angels in the last three chapters. But Jesus is better than those. So the question would be, in what ways is Jesus a better messenger or spokesman than these heavenly spiritual beings? Because that's what angels did, right? Now, there are some other things that angels did. But for the most part, 90% of the work they do in the Bible is delivering messages. God has sent me to you to tell you X, Y, or Z. So Jesus, in this first comparison in Hebrews, the author is making the point that Jesus is better than the angels as a conveyor of God's messages, as a spokesman of God. Number one, Jesus has a better nature than the angels. Hebrews 1, 3 through 5, which we've already read before, right? He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purifications for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," or again, "I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son"? What's being talked about here? The quality of the son's being, his nature, his essence. He is made of the same stuff that the father is. His nature is higher than the angels. His divinity, of course, is not the only part of his nature that makes him a better messenger. So he is the Son of God, right? Made of the same stuff in the same way that Gideon is a human, like I'm a human. So we're talking about essence. He is divine in his essence. But that's not the only part of his nature that makes him better, a better messenger, because number two, Jesus has more empathy. Not only is he divine and therefore better than the angels, but his nature as human makes him better than the angels, right? Hebrews 2, 8 through 12, "At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him," that being Jesus. "We see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels." A little while. What does that mean? We'll get that. "Namely, Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." That phrase. "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels." What does that mean? Doesn't that mean that brief period of time, 30 years, which is a very little amount of time in the grand scheme of things, right? You think about 30 years versus all eternity. For 30 years being lower than the angels here. Because our stuff is inferior to the stuff of the angels. The stuff that we're made of, DNA and atoms and matter and physicality and chemistry. All of those things are inferior to the ministering spirits that he makes like a flame of fire. The spiritual heavenly beings. So when Jesus is made out of our stuff, he is for a little while lower than the angels. But doesn't that give him empathy? The angels don't know what it's like to be human. They deliver these messages from God. They go all over the place delivering all these messages, but they don't have any idea what it's like to be the kind of being that they're delivering these messages to. That Gabriel, as he delivers the message to Mary, doesn't know what Mary is going through, doesn't know what she is enduring. The temporary nature of this lowering is key, his time on earth. "For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, by in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." That would be us, right? We're the them. "Saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise." Perfect through suffering. That's the suffering here, right? I'm not sure the angels go through stuff like that. The angels don't have to deal with aging and with disease and with death. Some of them will eventually. But right now, they don't have any concept of that. Jesus was made perfect through his suffering as a human so that he might call us brothers, part of the same family. Unlike the angels, Jesus empathizes with the people to whom he delivered his message. 14 through 18. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not the angels that he helps. Jesus is not helping them. They do not need his help and his empathy. He already knows what it's like to be a heavenly being. He's not helping them when he does this. And I'm not even sure angels have the chance of redemption that we do. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. That would be us, right? We're the ones who are being tempted. And because he knows what that's like, he can help us in that. He partook of the same things, he was made like his brothers in every respect, and he himself has suffered through temptation. And really, when it comes down to it, don't the words of someone who understands what you are going through mean more? You're going through a difficult time, you have a difficult circumstance in your life. The words of one who empathizes, who literally understands what you're going through because they've been in a similar circumstance, those words mean more. They know what to say better, they have better words, they have more empathy, they have more understanding. Now, some people might sympathize, and if somebody who's not going through, who has not gone through what you're going through feels bad for you or feels sorry for you, wants to help, there is a level of sympathy there. But isn't empathy much more meaningful? We understand that, I think, instinctively. What makes Jesus, or one of the things that makes Jesus a better spokesman, a better messenger of God, is that his message is delivered through empathy and through understanding. All previous in the Old Testament, right? You think about all the different angels in the Old Testament giving their messages. God has sent me to tell you X, Y, or Z. It would be very easy for the people to say, well, what do you know? You're not like me. What do you know? You don't have to suffer like I do. What do you know? You're not dealing with all the things that I'm dealing with. But you can't say that to Jesus, because he does know what you're dealing with. When he gives you a message, it comes from a place of understanding and empathy. And because of this, because of his nature as God, being divine, being of the same stuff and material as God, the same authority as God, because of his nature as God and empathy in humanity, because he spent some time as a human, Jesus as a messenger has more authority. His words mean more. They have more weight and impact. Hebrews 1, 6 through 9. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Because he has more authority, right? I'm not worshiping the angels, I'm worshiping Jesus. And the angels are, in fact, as well, worshiping Jesus. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, yes, angels are powerful. They have majesty in a certain respect. They have great power. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Angels are great, but Jesus is better. The scepter of unrighteousness is the scepter of your king, or uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. His companions would be the angels, right? Beyond those companions. What are worship and kingship, which are the two things he talks about right here, right? Let all God's angels worship him, and he sits on the throne. What are worship and kingship but markers of authority? That yes, I would listen, of course, to the words of the angels, but when the king says it, and I really better pay attention, right? Because those words carry more weight and authority. 10 through 13. You, O Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? The authority of Jesus as messenger. Not just because of his nature, not just because of his empathy, but because of his creative power. He gets to say some things because he made you. Right? Because he made physical reality. That gives him a certain amount of authority. Hebrews 2, 5 through 8. It was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, which we are speaking. It is testified somewhere. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. That is, he was temporarily lower than the angels when he was here on earth. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection to his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he has left nothing outside his control. This is talking about Jesus, right? The authority that Jesus has. Jesus rules over all creation, and his authority will never be supplanted. So those angels back in the Old Testament, they delivered message after message after message to God's people. But of course, much of what they delivered, most of the content of their message has been overruled, which is going to be a prominent theme throughout the book of Hebrews, is all of those things that the angels said no longer applies because of the message that Jesus has delivered that will never be supplanted, that will never be overruled because he is supremely in charge. So what? What's the conclusion? And the author does give the so what, and this is the importance of the book, right? Not just Hebrews, but really the whole New Testament. Why this matters. Long ago, at many times and many ways, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. 2:1-3, therefore, we must pay closer attention, much closer attention to what we have heard. Closer than what? You may have listened to the angels, but you better pay more attention now, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, all those things that they said in the Old Testament, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, and when they violated the message of those that was delivered to them, when they disobeyed that message, they were punished, and we could see that all throughout the history of the Old Testament. Since that message received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Because isn't that the message that Jesus brings? The message of salvation? That is the thing that Jesus is delivering unto you. The thing that he is speaking to you from God. This message of salvation. And if when they ignored God's messengers in the past, who were inferior in every way, when they ignored those messengers in times past, they were punished. Their retribution was swift and sure. How shall we escape if we then ignore the words of the Creator himself? The message that he has delivered to us through the Son. Jesus, a better messenger than angels. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. The rest of the book, Hebrews, the rest of Hebrews, flows from this central point. We must pay attention to the message Jesus brought to the world. And you look at all those different things that I put up there, the better covenant, the better priesthood, better than Moses, we can be better than we were. All those better things in Hebrews flow from this central point, that the thing that Jesus has delivered to you matters more than anything God has ever said to anybody. This is the message we must pay much closer attention to. And so we'll conclude with three questions for your own practical consideration. Do we need miracles and angels to deliver to us messages from God today? If the message delivered by Jesus is that which will be forever because his rule is forever, why would I need a new message? Since the one that he has delivered is that which will have authority for all eternity, since the message that has been delivered to us has been delivered by an empathetic being who understands who I am and what I need, who understands what it means to be human, and thus the message he has delivered has timeless application for all humans because it was delivered from a place of empathy. And so why do people worry so much about these things? I don't know. I can think of some reasons. I'm sure you have some reasons in your mind. But we just quite frankly don't need any more miraculous messages or angelic messages because of what Jesus, the Son, has spoken to us from God. Second question, where did the apostles then get the things they taught in the New Testament? Why does this matter? You think about this message delivered to us through Jesus. Well, most of the New Testament is not the words of Jesus, right? You have red letter Bibles, I'm sure. As you look in your red letter Bible, Acts through, well, Revelation has some, But most of the New Testament is not red letter, right? It's not spoken to us by Jesus. But what did Jesus say to the apostles? That you will remember the things that I have taught you. And that is the thing that you will say to other people. So when we think, reread Romans through, well, really Acts. We read Acts through Revelation. Aren't those things the message from the Son? The things that he taught to the apostles and the things that he conveyed to them and the things that he promised to them in John 14 through 16, that high priestly prayer that I will send you the helper, and the things that I tell to him, he will tell to you and you will tell to everyone else. So that message in the New Testament is the message from the Son. It's not just like we only have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and that's it. The rest of the New Testament is that same message. It is us being given instructions from the Son. And finally, are you paying close attention to that message? The warning that he begins, or he concludes his introduction with, because everything's going to flow from this warning, right? Therefore, since we know about the things that happened to people who ignored the angels, we need to pay closer attention lest we drift away from that message. Are you paying close attention? And what would that mean? It's not just right now, right? You're not just paying attention to me. But the idea of paying close attention is what? That you care about the things that are said, that you're devoted to understanding. When you pay close attention to a speaker, it's not for no point, right? You're trying to understand the things that are conveyed. You're trying to understand what the speaker is trying to say. Are you trying to understand what Jesus says? Or are you just sort of learning the words? And I feel sometimes like when we memorize verses, this is a thing that happens, is I memorize the sound of the words and I memorize the order of the words and the grammar of the sentence and I memorize all this information about the words, but I never really understand the message. When we're paying close attention, it's not just about hearing it, and it's not just about listening to it, and it's not just about reading it. So you read through the Bible in a year, hooray! But did you understand what you read? Because I can run my words, or I can run my eyes over the page. Anybody can do that. But do you pay attention to the message so that you might absorb and understand the content of it? Or are you in danger of, as the Hebrew author says, drifting away? Because you're not anchored in that understanding. The understanding of the message is that which anchors us to the message that Jesus has said. I don't know. As we go through the book of Hebrews, the author is going to make a bunch of points about how Jesus is better. All the different ways that Jesus is better, and all the different ways that the things that Jesus has given us is better. Not just the message, but the covenant, and the priesthood, and the life that we now live, and the reward, all these better things. But only if we do what he says at the beginning, and pay close attention to the things that we have heard. You don't get the better reward, or the better covenant, or the better life, or the better whatever. You don't get any of the other better stuff unless you're paying attention to the message that was spoken to you by the Son.